This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Well, this weekend is our fall kickoff weekend, that weekend of the year when those who are away or traveling for the summer are back, our kids and student programs are back, football is back, I'm back, at least I'm back here in the pulpit. This year, of course, though, feels very different. Schools are back in session, but not back in school buildings. The NFL is playing games in empty stadiums. Our kids' programs are happening, but they're happening online. Our student programs are happening here on our Ridgely Road campus, but they look different too. And let me just go ahead and be honest with you at the risk of sounding a little negative and a little depressing. I always look forward to this weekend in particular and the fall season generally, which is my favorite season of the whole year, but I have not been looking forward to this fall, frankly, because I believe this fall is going to be very stressful. It's going to be a very difficult period. For the next 2 months leading up to the election and probably beyond, tensions are going to run high. There's a spirit to this time that is not good and is not, I think, of God. There's a lot of tension because there's so many uncertainties. There's the uncertainty about the COVID crisis itself. There's uncertainty about the election. There's uncertainty about schools and what's going to happen there. There's uncertainty about the economy. Depending upon your job or your business, there could be uncertainty for you in that too. There's uncertainty that comes with civil unrest and racial tensions. And there's a prevailing uncertainty in our relationships, all of them, strained by social distancing, divided by partisan politics. There's all kinds of uncertainty. But one thing remains clear. Jesus Christ calls us to follow him today, just as he always has. That's certain. And he calls us as a church family, whether we're here on Ridgely Road or online. He calls us as one church family to support one another as we seek to follow him. That's certain too. It's certain, it just isn't easy. It never is. But especially now with all this uncertainty, it won't be easy. You and I, perhaps in the days and months ahead, are going to grow angry and annoyed. Maybe you're already angry and annoyed by what others say, what others do, by things that just happen. And that anger and annoyance can be fed by Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and cable news and conspiracy theories and projections and polls. This is going to be a challenge to our character and our hearts. Whether we come through this with stronger character and greater hearts or diminished character and hurting hearts will depend in large measure on how we treat one another during this time, especially those who are hard to love, continue to disappoint, flat out disagree with us. Now, if you're joining us today online or in person on Ridgely Road, here's something I know about you. I know you want to be a good person, a kind person, a loving person. Here's something else that I know about you. There's room for improvement for all of us, for sure. We could all be better at loving people. We could all be better at treating one another with respect. We could all be better when it comes to kindness and compassion. There's a gap. There's always a gap. But here's the thing. That gap can grow. It can become a chasm. It can become a canyon. In the uncertain times ahead, it can become the Grand Canyon if we're not paying attention. Closing that gap begins by realigning ourselves with Jesus Christ's teaching when it comes to how we're treating one another, to how we're looking at one another. We tend to see people as the world sees people, defined by their political opinions, their ethnicity, their income. The world pushes us to view people as Democrats or Republicans, conservatives or liberals, racists or anarchists, mass proponents or mass dissenters. In short, the world drives us to dehumanize people into categories and classes and causes over which we can stand apart as distinct, or above as morally superior. But God doesn't judge anyone's worth in any of those ways. When we see people as God sees people, it's easier to love them as God loves them. That's the goal of this series. That's the series in a sentence, to align or realign our view of people with God's view. That's where we're going in this series in the next few weeks. And we begin the journey by looking at a passage from Matthew's gospel. The story is introduced when Peter asks Jesus a question. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" So Peter's heard Jesus talk about forgiveness and mercy often because it was one of his favorite topics. And so he wants to know, what are the limits to all of this? Forgiveness is fine. It's all well and good. It's great, but surely there's a limit to it. There's a cap to it. What is it? Seven times? Seven times certainly seems generous to Peter. It does to me too. But Jesus challenges that kind of thinking. "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, more times than you would care to keep count of. Or better yet, don't even try to keep count." Now, Jesus knew perfectly well that this was a challenging teaching because he knew it's so difficult to forgive. It's so difficult for us to forgive. We just don't want to do it. And without practice, we're no good at it either. So he follows up this very difficult teaching with a story. A story that illustrates why we need to do it. Why it's in our strategic best interest to do it. And the story goes like this. "That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants." Jesus loves stories. He loved to tell stories. They're called parables. And he used parables to tell us about the kingdom of heaven in order to help us understand this world from God's perspective. The parables give us clear pictures of reality as God understands reality. A reality that's often obscured in our understanding and day-to-day living. The kingdom of heaven is the true kingdom, the real kingdom that will last forever, and it's very different from the kingdoms of this world. So Jesus begins this parable by saying the kingdom of heaven is like a king who settled accounts with his servants. The king is owed a debt, and the debt has come due. Here's what happened. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and his property, in payment of the debt. A huge amount. How big is that? Well, other translations tell us specifically it was 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. A common worker, a day laborer in that time, in that place, could earn maybe one or two talents their whole working life long. So this is an absurd amount. This is a ridiculous amount. This is an obscene amount. And this is actually an example of Jesus' humor. And his favorite form of humor was exaggeration. His audience would have been laughing out loud at this story. People love stories, don't they? And they especially love funny stories. So Jesus used them all the time in his preaching and teaching. The story goes on. Of that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full." Moved with compassion, the master of the servant let him go and canceled the debt. He canceled the debt. The servant falls down begging for pity and patience, and that makes sense that he would do so. What else would he do? But his argument doesn't make any sense. There's no way he could ever possibly pay back the debt he owed. It doesn't make any sense. But it touches the master's heart. So the master, the king, doesn't make him pay anything back. Nothing, not a dime. He forgives the debt completely. That's what forgiveness is. It's canceling the debt. It is not saying that someone didn't owe you in some way. It's not saying that they didn't take something from you. It's not saying they weren't in the wrong. They did. They were. They are. If they didn't, there'd be nothing to forgive. Forgiveness is saying you're owed, but the debt is canceled. End of story. And that should have been the end of this story. All's well that ends well. The servant owed a debt he couldn't pay. The king cancels the debt. All is good. Everybody lives happily ever after. But oftentimes in Jesus' storytelling, there's a twist to the story, just when you don't expect it. This, in fact, is not the end of the story. It's the end of the first scene. Second scene. When that servant left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." The servant, who was just forgiven a huge debt, found one of his fellow servants. Don't miss this. He found him. He went out deliberately looking for the guy, in order to deliberately deny him the very mercy which he had just been extended. And over what? Scripture tells us a much smaller amount. Again, other translations are more specific. 100 denarii. The guy owed 100 denarii. What's that? Well, it's exactly one day's wages for a common laborer. In other words, a ridiculously small amount of money that could easily have been repaid. The hypocrisy of the fella is cruel and it is extreme. And now the story moves to a third and final scene. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to the master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then, in his anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. That's the story. And then comes the lesson from the story, and the lesson comes like a hammer. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. And I'm guessing nobody was laughing at this point. It was Mark Twain who once said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand." If this passage doesn't bother you, you should go back and read it again. Now, in the parables, somebody is always God and somebody is always us, and it's not usually difficult to figure out who's who. In this story, it's obvious the king is God. And Jesus says, we're like the unforgiving servants. We're like the unforgiving servants when we refuse to forgive. And that's the bad news. But as challenging and uncomfortable as that bad news is, there's good news in it too. Good news that should comfort and cheer us. The good news is that God has canceled your debt and mine too. God has canceled our debt. All of us have a debt before God because we've sinned against God over and over again. We still do. And there's no way we can pay that back. But in his love and mercy, he sent his son to die for us, to pay our debt on the cross. Jesus died for you and has paid your debt. That's the truth. But the truth gets obscured. The truth gets out of focus. The truth gets lost sight of. We forget the truth of our situation because we're so focused on what we're owed. That's what we pay attention to, what we're owed. And maybe somebody does owe you something. Probably they do. Perhaps they owe you quite a lot. Maybe they've hurt you or offended you. Maybe what they say or support offends you. Maybe they've been stupid or selfish. They may owe you a debt that they cannot, that they will not repay. Just remember, that's you too. You owe a debt you cannot repay, and you don't have to. So the question is, who's that somebody in your life? Who's that somebody today? That someone that you need to forgive, whose debt you need to cancel. And think about it, maybe they don't even know. Maybe they don't even know it. Maybe there's somebody in your life right now who keeps stating their opinions over and over and over again and over and over and over again. They're sure they're right and they're wrong. They're dead wrong. They're as wrong as can be, and it's driving you crazy. Is there anybody like that in your life right now? Forgiving them doesn't mean that you agree with them. Forgiving them doesn't mean they're right. Forgiving them doesn't mean they have permission to keep acting that way. Forgiving them means you cancel the debt. As far as you're concerned, they don't owe you an apology. They don't owe you an explanation. They don't owe you anything. Cancel the debt. Don't focus on what you've lost or what you're owed. Focus on what you've been given and how you've been forgiven.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.